Chapter 9. The End of a Dream. Later, in my office, I could not stop thinking about Gatsby. Just before noon, Jordan Baker called me. "Can I see you this afternoon?" she asked. But I did not want to see Jordan again. I called Gatsby's house, but his telephone was busy. Then I called him 4 more times, but it was still busy. I felt worried about Gatsby, so I left my office and took a train back to West Egg. Later, I learned what happened that day. Wilson's neighbour, Michaelis, owned the coffee shop next to the garage. He stayed with Wilson all night. In the early morning, Wilson talked to Michaelis. "I'm going to find the owner of that yellow car," he said. "That man killed my wife."
"But it was an accident, George," said Michaelis.
"No," said Wilson. "She ran into the road to speak to him, but he didn't stop. He murdered her, and I know how to find him." Michaelis was very tired and went home to sleep. When he came back to the garage after a few hours, Wilson was not there. Later that morning, many people saw Wilson walking slowly along the road with a crazy look in his eyes. After that, nobody saw him for about 3 hours. But that afternoon, about 2:30 p.m, somebody saw him in West Egg asking the way to Gatsby's house. Gatsby waited all morning for a message from Daisy, but it did not come. In the afternoon, he decided to go for a swim. He walked down to the pool, but Wilson was waiting there for him. A few minutes later, Gatsby's driver heard a loud noise, like a gun. I drove straight from the station to Gatsby's house and ran up the steps. I found the driver and the butler, and together we went down to the pool. Gatsby was dead in the water. Then, as we walked back to the house, we saw Wilson's body lying in the long grass with the gun next to him. I called Daisy and her butler answered.
"Mr. and Mrs. Buchanan have gone away," he said.
"Oh," I said, "when are they coming back?"
"I don't know," he said.
I felt very angry with Tom and Daisy. Then I asked Gatsby's butler for Meyer Wolfsheim's office address and phone number. I called his office 3 times, but nobody answered. The next morning, I sent the butler to New York with a letter for Wolfsheim, telling him that Gatsby was dead. Wolfsheim sent a reply.
"Dear Mr. Carraway, this is terrible news. I am very sorry, but I cannot come now because I have some important business. Please let me know about the funeral, but I don't know any of Mr. Gatsby's family. Yours, Maya Wolfsheim."
There was still no message from Daisy, but on the third day, an old man came to Gatsby's house carrying a bag and an umbrella. I gave him something to eat and drink, but he did not want it.
"I'm Jimmy's father," he said. "I read about his murder in the newspaper. Where is he?"
I felt very sorry for the old man. I took him into the room with Gatsby's body. A little later, he came out again. "Do you want to take your son's body back to the West, Mr. Gatsby?" I asked.
"My name is Gats,"
said the old man.
No, I don't want to take Jimmy's body away. He always liked it better here in the East. Were you a friend of my son's, Mr.
Carraway? I said. Yes, we were good friends. On the morning of the funeral, I went up to Wolfsheim's office building. I did not think anyone was there, but after I shouted hello, I heard two people having an argument inside. A secretary opened the door, but she was not very friendly.
"Nobody's here," she said. "Mr. Wolfsheim has gone to Chicago."
There was another door in the room. Someone on the other side of this door called,
"Stella?"
It was Wolfsheim's voice.
"Leave your name on the desk," said the secretary quickly. "I'll give it to Mr. Wolfsheim when he gets back from Chicago."
"But I know Mr. Wolfsheim is here," I said. "Please tell him Mr. Carraway wants to see him. I need to speak to him about Mr. Gatsby."
"Oh,"
she said, looking at me again.
"Will you just... what was your name?"
She went away. A few minutes later, Wolfsheim opened the door of his office, holding out his hands.
"Come into my office," he said.
I went into Wolfsheim's office and sat down.
"This is a sad time for all of us," he said. "I remember when I first met Gatsby. He was a young officer just out of the army with a lot of medals that he got in the war. He was very poor, and he didn't even have enough money to buy food. He was looking for a job. Gatsby was a fine, handsome young man, and I knew I could use him in my business," said Wolfsheim. "So I asked him to have lunch with me. He was very hungry, and he ate a lot of food."
"Did you start him in his business?"
"Yes," said Wolfsheim. "I helped him in everything. He had nothing when I met him. But after he started working with me, he became rich. We were always together in everything."
"Now he's dead," I said. "You were his very good friend. So please come to his funeral today."
"I'm sorry, I would really like to come," said Wolfsheim. "But I can't."
I felt very sad and angry that Wolfsheim did not want to come to Gatsby's funeral. When I left his office, the sky was dark. By the time I got back to West Egg, it was raining. I went to Gatsby's house and found his father there. We waited, and just before 3 p.m, the minister came. I looked out the window, but there were no other cars.
"We have to go now," said the minister.
So, at about 5 p.m, we drove to the cemetery in only 3 cars. Gatsby's body was in the first car. Gatsby's father, the minister, and I were in the second car, and some of Gatsby's staff were in the third car. It was still raining heavily, and the ground was very wet. There was no message or flowers from Daisy. I felt very sad. Many people came to Gatsby's parties and had a good time, but nobody came to his funeral. He had no real friends. One afternoon in late October, I saw Tom Buchanan in New York looking in a shop window. I did not want to say hello. Gatsby and Myrtle were dead, but he thought only about himself. Suddenly, he turned and walked toward me, holding out his hand. I did not take it.
"What's the matter, Nick?" he asked. "You know what I think of you," I replied.
"You're crazy," he said quickly.
"What did you say to Wilson that afternoon?" I asked. "Did you tell him about Gatsby?"
I turned away, but Tom held my arm.
"I told Wilson the truth," said Tom. "He came to our house while we were getting ready to leave. He tried to come upstairs. He wanted to know about the yellow car. He was crazy. He had a gun, and he was going to kill me. So I had to tell him it was Gatsby's car. Gatsby acted very badly. He killed Myrtle, and he didn't even stop."
I knew this was not true, but I could not tell Tom the truth about the accident. Gatsby's house was empty, and the grass on his lawn was very long. I did not want to remember his parties, so I started going to New York at the weekends. After a time, I moved away from West Egg. On my last night, I sat by the sea and thought about Gatsby. His love for Daisy was very real, but her love was not sincere. When he saw the green light at the end of her jetty, he became full of hope. But Gatsby's dream was only a dream. He could not change the past. Penguin Readers, The Great Gatsby, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Level 3. Retold by Anne Collins. Illustrated by Tom Sperling. Series editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2019.